friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
'17-'16, Browns lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. This is just fact. Anybody who watched that game, this is just fact. A game the Browns should have won.
Yes.
Browns should
Even
have won.
Joe Burrow said yesterday, I sat in on his press conference yesterday, and he said, yeah, we got lucky in this one. We stole one. I think that's what he said.
The way that the Browns defense played against a really good offense. Remember, last year the Bengals. Joe Burrow led the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Bengals' offense is really good. And the Browns shut them down. And you give up 17 points to a good offensive team like that, you're supposed to win the game. Andy, there was your magic number.
Yep.
16 points. Browns averaged 15 point something or other last year. And that was dead last in the NFL. And there it was again. 15.2 for the Browns last year. They held a team that scored almost 28 points a game last year, sixth highest scoring team in the NFL, to 17 points yesterday and lost the football game. That is not supposed to happen. Let's start with the defense.
Okay. Let me start here.
Go.
Myles Garrett could put up a mansion between the ears of Joe Burrow. He owns Joe Burrow. He absolutely does. There is something about Myles against Joe, and Joe, I don't know if Joe just fears him or what, but there is definitely Miles has every bit of space between his ears during the game. He does. He said after the game he was the best in the NFL. So I just was like, wow. I mean, talk about respect. And they call him 95. I listened to all their press conferences yesterday. 95. That would say his name.
That's all you need.
Oh, man.
Well, because that's what you see is a big number 95 coming at you.
Yeah.
I thought the defense just did a nice job all the way around.
Denzel played a great game. I thought all the DBs played pretty well.
Greg Newsome did a nice job on the outside.
Yeah.
Good for Greg. I mean, I can't look at the defense and think of anything. You know, you're not going to shut a team like that down. That's just not going to happen. And the Browns almost did. I mean, they almost did. I can be extremely encouraged about the defensive effort. I thought the Browns defense against a good Bengal offense certainly looked better than the Ravens defense looked last night against the Buffalo Bills. And it looked better than the Steeler defense did against a Justin Fields led New York Jets team. So 1 week is very small sample size, but you want to stretch. Browns defense is certainly as good as any in the division. I mean, the other guys gave up tons of points. And the Bengals defense isn't supposed to be very good. They did a nice job yesterday.
Does someone want to tell me that Carson Schwestinger is a rookie? Because he did not play like one yesterday.
He had a nice game leading
tackler.
Man,
he is. I'm more impressed every time I see him out on the field. And the fact that he's so young in the league to be able to come in here and do what he did. I think it was Nathan yesterday during the pregame show. I had a really good note that I didn't realize. You know how everyone's making a big deal about Schwestinger wearing the dot on his helmet to be the guy that gets the plays in on defense. I don't know that I just didn't catch it last year or not, but they were wearing those in college last year too. So the transition for him to be able to call plays and wear the helmet, it was a little bit easier than I think the typical rookie would have had in the NFL. But still, just because they know how to do it already. You know, they've had a whole season to get used to it before they get to the NFL. So I think that's interesting. I'm curious to see how many rookies are actually wearing the dot on the back of their helmet on defense.
Well, all I know is he did a nice job. I thought the defense.
Isaiah McGuire had a good game yesterday too.
Just really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The run defense, solid. You know, every aspect of the defense I thought did a really nice job yesterday. I think that's really encouraging for this team. Really encouraging for this team.
Jeff, if I would have told you that Higgins would only have 3 catches for 33 yards.
And you look, and
Jamar Chase 2 for 26.
You'd win the football game,
Andy. And that Noah Fant would be the only guy to get in the end zone of the receivers.
Well, just the 2 stats that you gave about 2 stud wide receivers in Chase and Higgins, that's all you need to know about the game. Look at Joe Burrow's passing numbers. Joe didn't hit 150 yards passing. You win that football game.
That's a box score of regret, isn't it?
Exactly. You win that game, but the Browns didn't. Burrow had 113 yards passing, folks. You win that game, but you didn't.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I don't know. I wonder if Burrow should charge Garrett condo fees for living inside his head. Oh, he owns him. Wow. Wow.
Well, it was more. There was actually more to it than Myles Garrett.
I know, but there. I mean, if you go back and just look at Myles against Joe, it locks him up. It just locks him up. I hope that happens. I hope that it's a meaningful game the last week of the season when they close the year out. Plus, if you're looking to see, let's just say they have a halfway decent to a winning season down the road, which I'm not banking on, but I'd like to be optimistic just for a little bit here. It's too early in the season to be completely down on everything. To see the improvement or how this team changes between week 1 and week 18 against the Bengals, because you play the same team. So
the one thing about, and it's not to argue with you on this, Burrow played well against the Browns last year. And so
overall in his career he struggled against the Browns.
They had won 3 straight over the Browns until yesterday. Burrow had played well early on in his career. I think he lost his first 5 games.
Yeah.
And certainly yesterday, that defense was just stellar. They were really good, man. And Andy, after what we saw from the defense last year, where it was okay last year, but it wasn't what it was 2 years ago, that's a great sign for this team. And they're going to have to be really good.
There's another point to be made about the Bengals, because they were 1-11 the first 2 weeks of the season. Was that last 6 years?
Last 3 right? years, I think. Oh, in the first 6
first yeah, week first of the season. 2 week 1 and week 2. Yeah. They were 1-11.
Last year, which would they be under Taylor's 4 to start.
Yeah.
In 2023 they were 1-3, and in 2022 they were 0-2.
They changed their the way they did things at camp, right? Burrow saw a lot of time.
Burrow played in the preseason.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to do him any good, did it?
Won
the game, but they weren't good.
Taylor seemed to be happy with the fact that they changed things up and that the guys seemed more ready, especially on defense for Cincinnati after the game. But
loss. Andy, they weren't good yesterday. The Bengals weren't good. Their offense wasn't, and their defense really wasn't. I thought their offense played more poorly than their defense. Browns just couldn't capitalize. The Browns couldn't take advantage of a defense that should have been shredded.
True, but their defense also was in the right place at the right time to get the interceptions.
Well, they don't get interceptions if the Browns
hang on to the ball. Totally agree. Yeah.
Jeff is in North Olmsted. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning. How are you?
Doing?
God, we're okay. Listen, mild.
I thought this about summed it up. First post on the Facebook for the Browns after the game was Schmidt happened. Clever. The way it was stated, but it's true. Listen, at the end of the day, we didn't beat ourselves. Or no, they didn't beat us. We beat ourselves.
Without question.
Game, obviously a problem, right? But let's talk a couple positives. Let's have a positive therapy Monday.
Okay.
The Browns defense was stellar. And I did hear you kind of nitpick a little bit.
On the first drive.
Let's listen, Andy. At the end of the day,
yes.
We'll take that first drive away, right?
We'll
look like that didn't happen.
Right.
What did the Browns defense do when we needed them to do it?
They came through. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying, in the beginning of the game, if you want to, I mean, at the end, I know Schmidt missed all those points, and I'm super mad about him. It's still a team game, and these aren't my words. These are Miles' words. These are Joe Flacco's words coming out afterwards.
I'm not attacking you. What I'm telling you is, regardless of what happened, they still gave us an opportunity to win that football game.
Correct.
And we didn't capitalize, and it stinks. Schlesinger all over the place. Devin Bush we didn't hear a lot about last year, stepped up and made some nice plays on the outside.
Yes, he did.
Our offense didn't look terrible. Our run game is lackluster. Until we get Quinshon acclimated, we already knew that coming in. I like seeing Samson bounce off a couple tackles out of the backfield. One thing I did like, and people aren't highlighting because it's Joe and nobody likes to give him an abundance of credit, is that touchdown pass he made. He threw that ball to the window before the receiver even got open. That's veteran quarterback play. I mean, what do we expect? We were in a game that we probably maybe shouldn't have been in, you know? And all things considered, Burrow, again, didn't really have a stellar game against us. There are so many positives from this. But what frustrates me more is exactly what you guys highlighted at the end about the Sunday night game. How does Buffalo find a kicker off the street, flies in from Arizona to Buffalo, and he makes every single kick in the game winner, but the Browns can't figure it out? These are the things we're frustrated about. It's not the play, the game, the energy, all of those things. I'll be honest. Yesterday was the first time I've watched a whole Browns game from start to finish in probably 2 years. Because you know I'm a diehard Indians guy, Guardians guy, and that's what I show up for. Mm-hmm. They're 2.5 out and still making it interesting for us. But with that being said, the Browns gave me something, a glimmer of hope.
That's exactly right, Jeff. That's exactly right. Opening drive, Bengals went 68 yards for the score. They had 73 yards in total offense the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
After that opening drive.
Right. They made the adjustment. I'm down with it.
Anthony's in Maple Heights, home of the Mustangs.
Anthony.
Good morning, fellas. I just have to say the game was boring. I was asleep when I woke up and my feelings were.
And you bought a new phone.
And you need to get a new phone.
Wow. I heard something about sleep. You know, he waited on hold for a while there to get on the air, and then his phone let him down. I feel bad for him. He thought he had something funny. Didn't work.
Maybe like a defense.
Didn't work.
Except the defense didn't let the Browns down yesterday. Defense was there. Get a better phone. You can be like the defense. Mike's in Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Mike.
Home of the Magic.
Hey, good morning, man. How are you?
Good. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, look, I hate to be the pessimist, but everybody's all excited about Judkins coming back into camp and possibly playing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy has been out of camp for 6 weeks. We don't know what kind of workout routine he had prior to coming back.
Okay.
Like I said, I hate to be the pessimist, but I think Judkins pulls a hammy, and we lose him for 4 to 6 weeks anyway.
Wow! Ouch!
Look.
You're predicting injury. Come on, man. You got to think about that.
I hate to do that.
I get you. I really want to say a guy's not going to be ready because he's out. Okay, I can buy into that. I'll buy that. Maybe. Hopefully, he's in shape. Everything's good, but. Man, I don't know. I couldn't sleep with myself if I was predicting injury. That's bad.
I just have a, look, I've been with the Browns since 1960.
So,
good resume.
And that's excellent.
I hate to say it, but that's what I'm looking at.
All right, Mike.
Gotcha.
I'm not overly cranked up about Judkins coming back. I just kind of think it'll be a young guy coming back, and we'll see what he can do. I kind of agree with Mike. He's certainly not the answer to what was wrong with the offense yesterday.
Mm-mm.
What was wrong with the offense yesterday is 4 drop passes.
And a kicker that couldn't put it through the uprights.
Well, he's on special teams, Andy. 216-474-0092.
Is he out there on fourth down?
216-474-0092. Number to join us. Scott Petrak coming up at 11 o'clock.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
The offense yesterday, I thought it was pretty good. I thought the game plan was exceptionally good. And they did not do anything that seemed to challenge the players on the field. And I mean that in a good way. They didn't run the ball well. That was a problem. But I thought Kevin's game plan, Tommy Reese's game plan. I'm sure they collaborated on that. They didn't ask Flacco to throw the ball downfield a ton. They didn't ask the wide receivers to do anything but catch the ball. Insert joke here. That's all they had to do. And they, for the most part, they did. I thought they were pretty creative in some of the things that they did out there. Overall, I thought it was an okay overall performance by the offense. You just can't you can't drop balls that are in your hands. And Andy, more so than The interceptions were the worst, obviously, because Jerry Jeudy's that pass was just a little off, but he should have had it. And Cedric Tillman's was in his hands. He should have had that. But earlier in the fourth quarter,
they both should have been caught. I'm sorry. Or at least not sent into the air.
Yeah. But, you know, they didn't purposely tip it in the air. It just went off their hands into the air just enough. But earlier in the fourth quarter, the Browns were at the Cincy 39-yard line.
Okay.
They had a third and five. And Harold Fannin had a drop.
Yeah. Although I thought Harold played a good game, too.
I thought Harold did, too. But he had a drop that would have been a first down, and they kept it going. And at that point, the Browns were down by a point, 17-16.
It was after a big play, too. There was a good play right before it. I felt like they got right back up to the line and was trying to move the ball down the field. And
then they went for it on fourth and five.
Yeah.
And now I want to ask you about this. Jerry Jeudy had a drop. I mean, it was just a flat-out drop.
Right.
And the Bengals got the football.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this at the time. And I wonder if it came to fruition. At that point, that would be a 56-yard field goal attempt?
Yeah, because I thought about this, too.
From the 39-yard line.
Yep.
Now, your kicker does not have a booming leg. Schmidt's not considered one of those guys who's going to go out and drill 60-yarders.
I wouldn't know. I probably should read the scouting report on him.
But 49, it would have been from that yardage, a 49-yard field goal. And then you kick it back seven for the snap. So basically a 56-yarder. What does that tell your kicker?
That you don't want him to kick a 56-yarder?
When a kick there gives you the lead. If you're him on the sidelines, Andy, and just humor me on this.
Okay.
Could this have been part of all of this? Kevin chose to go for it on a fourth and five.
Mm-hmm.
That's five. It's not one. Fourth and five. Rather than put his new kicker on the field to put his team ahead from 56 yards, which is becoming a commonplace field goal in the NFL these days.
Okay.
I wonder if that thought lingered, and I'm going conspiracy theory here, in Andre Schmidt's head. And when he did get the chance for the kick from 36 yards, he's thinking, man, he didn't trust me from 56. Now I'm at 36. Man, I got to make this kick. And then he just pushed it.
I'm just not buying that. I think that Kevin has traditionally shown that he likes to be aggressive in that situation. I kind of like coaches that go for it on fourth down when you're in that kind of no man's land where you're like, 56, 50, you know, something. I didn't have a problem. And the real reason I don't have a problem is if they execute the play, it's a first down. So it's not like they had a bad play call. The strategy was right in the situation. I don't know. For a team that struggled to score points last year at 16 points per game, getting to the end zone I thought was important. And I was okay with them going for it on fourth down. I thought it was going to be a long field goal. So I was okay with it. And it would have been. I was okay with it.
No,
I didn't have a problem with it.
I agree. I can't have a huge argument about it, but I just wonder what effect that might have had, if any, on Andre Schmidt. I thought that was interesting. Were you surprised the Browns couldn't run the ball yesterday?
A little bit.
I was, too.
A little bit. I don't know.
What I wanted to see it. They had 49 yards rushing.
Yeah, that's
but not. They averaged only 2.1 yards per rush, as did the Bengals, actually.
What'd you think about the play where they ran Fannin as a fullback on the snap.
Out of the direct snap?
Yeah, direct snap.
I would rather run Rocket Sanders out of the direct snap.
I agree with you. Although what they ended up with, Fannin.
Or Jerome Ford. But hey, they're going to use Fannin in a lot of different ways. And that's okay. Well, let's be creative. And they were.
They do like him. I like him, man. That kid's stud. He's a stud. Let's see what he does. I know he dropped the one pass yesterday, and I'm not – I mean, criticizing that is about the same as criticizing the defense for the first drive of the game. I get it. It's nitpicking, but – this team can't afford any mistakes right now.
Oh, right now, you're right.
The ball doesn't go their way. They don't get lucky. You know, this franchise just doesn't get lucky. So they have to execute everything perfect to win. And that could make for a really interesting season. I still want to talk about my clock theory, but we'll do it in a little bit. I know you want to grab some of those. So.
I think it's an interesting little factoid from the game.
Okay.
The Browns' longest play from scrimmage was a 25-yarder. There were two of them. Mm. Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy each had a 25-yard catch. Mm. Bengals' longest play from scrimmage, 20 yards.
Wow. You know why that happened, Dan? You know why this happened? The longest play was what for the Browns, would you say?
25.
Here's why it happened.
Because Andre Schmidt's wearing number 25?
No, because if you're an Ohio State and a Browns fan, that you saw Ohio State have eight plays of 20 yards or more, and that they used all of those up the day before.
Andy, they played Woodridge. Grambling.
Wow. Jeff, that's really disrespectful.
Call me when legitimate books have a spread on your game, and I'll pay attention to it.
Stop it.
Greg is in Painesville. Greg?
How you doing?
Hey.
Oh, we're just fine.
Greg, we're just sitting around talking.
Is this where we come to vent on Mondays after a
loss?
This
is Browns Therapy Monday, brother. Let's go.
It is. I tell you, we need a kicker graveyard. I tell you, the Browns beat the Browns yesterday. We played a really awesome game. I listen on the radio all time for like the first game. And I do. My dad brought it up on me, and we cleaned on Sundays, cleaned out the garage, and it's fascinating listening on the radio. There's a lot of passion.
Yes, the boys do a good job.
We played an awesome game. I was watching the Jets with the Steelers. That was a close one. But everybody's getting the same amount of money, getting paid, basically, to do a job. And when you got your weed whacker guy out there, and he misses a couple spots, such as our kicker, You're not going to get the job done, and you're not going to get back to it. Everybody says that next time. Hey, I think the kicker needs to go practice in the wind, man. You got to stay out of the dome where there's cool breeze, and you need to get the job done.
He just missed those, Greg. I don't think the wind had anything to do with those kicks.
Something.
Yeah, bad foot.
I don't know. He's working fertilizer today. They took the weed whacker away.
By the way, there are a lot of free agent kickers available.
Oh, tell me about them, Jeff.
Many of them formerly played for the Browns.
Oh, God, great. No.
There's Zane Gonzalez.
Zane!
There's Cade York.
Still in the league?
There's Greg Joseph.
It's 10-4-51. Wow. Why are you doing clunker lists?
Seibert's available.
I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I'm just going to say it. Phil Dawson's out there. Just saying it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Phil
could go out and kick a 25-yarder.
This list sponsored by Pepsi at AC.
Thank you. I'd still like to go out there and do a poll.
Anthony,
would you want Phil Dawson back to kick week two?
Maple Heights.
Answer,
hi, Anthony.
Yes.
Good morning. I'll call back again. I guess I must have went to sleep again, but I went to sleep on the game yesterday. And guess what happened? My Steelers won.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Thanks, man. Anthony.
It's great. Keep sleeping, my man.
Cool Ray's in Bedford.
We made you with your wire.
Yeah.
Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, man?
You, sir.
Yo, man, listen. You know what? I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I'm listening to all these fake Browns fans, man. Listen. We may have lost because of the kicker, but that ain't the reason we lost. Man, listen. I've seen this playbook, and I know y'all seen this playbook. This is straight out of Romeo Cannell's playbook. Let's play good, but let's play. Let's just play. You know, you're not trying to really win. You're playing good, but not to win. But come on. 8-yard passes. We should have had our rookies out there playing. To me, that was disrespectful to that veteran quarterback. He didn't throw not one pass that them rookies that Gabriel couldn't have threw. Come on, man. Listen. When are we gonna stop this? When are we gonna stop this?
Stop what?
Come on.
Did Joe Flacco give you a chance to win yesterday? Yes or no?
Joe Flacco was held back. That was like watching Seabiscuit run with one leg. That was like watching Seabiscuit run with one leg. Man, come on, man.
That's a great line.
This coaching staff is so bad. Like, come on.
But
like,
except for one thing, Cool Ray. I thought, and I understand what you're saying. What's the knock on Joe Flacco? then you might be a little interception prone. And yesterday I thought they had a really controlled offense that allowed the offense to do some things to give them a chance to win the football game.
He threw the ball 45 times. 45.
But he didn't let it rip too often, Cool Ray. I agree with you on that.
Here it is. Can y'all give me one pass? 45 passes. Did y'all give me one pass that a Super Bowl champion, a veteran quarterback, threw that them rookies that let's leave Shador out of this. That Dylan Gabriel couldn't have made one.
The touchdown pass to Tillman was nice, but Gabriel could make that throw too.
Thank you. That's listen. You sold this city.
I'll give you one play. The play to Fannin along the sidelines where he sucked the defense in, looked like he was going out of bounds, took a step back in, and Fannin did a nice job of popping back into play so he can make it. There you go. I'll give you. There's your one. You want it?
You don't think Dylan Gabriel could have made that throw?
Nah, not in his first game in the NFL. Cool. No, that was a professional play right there. Maybe he could have. I understand
what Cool Ray is saying. But I don't have any issues with it because I thought the game plan was really good going in.
I'm not killing Joe Flacco today.
No, there's no reason to kill Joe Flacco. Now the lack of a running game that might be something to talk about. We will with Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram next.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.